Well, last week I took you through 17 verses. This week we're going to look at one main verse in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We'll be in John 11. You can turn or tap there. And I forgot to write the page number down for the Pew Bible, so you're on your own there. I usually write it down and tell you what page it's on. If you need to use one of those Pew Bibles, that's great. And also, if you don't have a Bible, please take one of those Pew Bibles home. We want you to have a copy of the Word of God. We have some to replace it. So today is the third and final message in a sermon series called Pain Hurts, God Heals. Pain hurts, God heals. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about physical pain. And that's the first thing we think about when we think about pain, the physical pain. Something happens to us through disease or an injury or something like that. And I told you that God can use all pain if we allow it, allow Him to. And all believers, remember this part, all believers are guaranteed to be healed. You have a guaranteed healing of your physical pain, your physical problems. Now, it may happen in this life. God still does miracles. He works through doctors. And sometimes it doesn't happen in this life. But when you get to heaven, you're going to have a new body and all your physical problems are going to be healed. And you can look forward to that. And then last week, I looked at spiritual pain. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit when He tells you something's wrong. And He causes that spiritual pain in your life. That's for your own good because He's trying to call you back to Himself. And this week, we're going to look at something that is not visible usually. And that's emotional or mental pain. Those terms are synonymous, so I'll stick with emotional pain, just so you know what I'm talking about. We've all experienced emotional pain. Even a baby, when it's born, it is scared, it's crying. Our smallest children have dealt with emotional pain all the way through teenagers and adults and older adults. And the older you get, the more likely you're going to experience some sort of emotional pain. We were in a kids club last Monday, and I was the teacher. Well, I'm not the teacher every week, but about every 4 weeks or so. And we were teaching, and I can't really remember the question, but it was something about something that makes you sad or it's difficult or something. If you don't know, we're split up into two groups. We have the littlest kids first and in the teaching part, and then we switch. Anyway, have the older kids second. All right. But this was at the littlest kids, so like 5 years old and up. And they started going around things that they were sad about or had been sad about, and it was very painful. And some of them said deaths, like an uncle or some other family member. Some of them said pets, and you could see that they weren't just, I want to say something too, and I want to say something. They were hurting when they thought about these hard things. So even our youngest children experience emotional pain. And sadly, it's part of life on this earth, and we have to face it. I'm not telling you anything new, but we all wish it wasn't part of life here, but it is. So you go through emotional pain, and the sources can be almost endless. You know, your parents go through a divorce. Or maybe you go through a divorce that you didn't want to go through. You have a friend that betrays you. You never thought it would be that friend that would betray you. Or you betray the friend and then you see the emotional pain that you caused on that person, then you feel emotional pain. Harsh words. Isn't it interesting how harsh words can hurt? They come from a teacher, maybe a coach, a parent, a boss, a coworker, even a good friend. Harsh words, or somebody accuses you of something that's not true. You know, they assumed your motives. You ever do that? You assume somebody's motives. You see somebody do this thing, and you think, well, she did that because you have no idea why she did that thing. Somebody accuses you of doing something and assumes your motive, and it hurts because the thing is not true, what they said. Or maybe the action that they're accusing you of isn't even true. And, of course, a very common one, someone close to you dies. That's difficult. Maybe you're the one who sins. And the consequences hit. And there's emotional pain that goes along with that. Or someone sins against you. And it hurts. Frustration in marriage, frustration in other kinds of relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, frustration in parenting. All relationships will have emotional pain at one time or another. So all these things and many, many more, I could make a longer list, they cause emotional pain. And some of you are dealing with some of that right now, this morning. We've all been hurt. We've all been hurt in this world. Sometimes inside the church, sometimes outside the church. And some of you have been hurt more than others. Some of you have gone through some things that are almost unimaginable. A quick aside before I go on. I'm not talking about depression or other mental disorders. That is a legitimate subject too. It's just not the one for today. Probably sometime next year, I haven't got the date nailed down just yet, I'll be talking about depression and some of the things that go on with that. I was told at a different church. I had been there a while. I don't know how long I'd been there, at least a year, maybe two. And this person came to me and he said that I had not preached one good sermon since I arrived at that church. And it's like, why don't you punch a pastor in the gut, you know, or maybe knife me? It hurt. And even though it was words and I knew it wasn't true, it still hurt. And I'll tell you something else, something like that. In that wheelhouse, I'm going to be really nebulous on purpose here, but something like that happened here at Bethel. It's been some time back. And sometimes the stings last. You can forgive someone, but the pain can sometimes remain. And you have your own emotional pain for different reasons. And it's probably not hard for you to think of a situation where you have experienced emotional pain or you're going through it right now. It's not hard to come up with that, is it, as human beings? And by the way, don't look at someone else and say, well, at least I'm not going through that. Why am I complaining? Look, your emotional pain is your pain. Don't compare it to someone else's and say, well, God doesn't need to bother with this, or I don't need to bother with anybody. Look, if you're hurting about something, you're hurting about something. I love the verse that I'm going to read in just a second. I love this verse. Part of the reason is it's the shortest verse in the Bible. And people like with ADD like me like short verses. We could remember them. John 11:35. So that's part of the reason. But really, the bigger reason is it is one of the most human verses you will ever read. It is so like down to earth. You can relate to this. It's honest. It's real. And you know, you get it when you read it. And I'm so glad that God made it part of his word to us, John 11:35, Jesus wept. That's the verse. Jesus wept. And this was a response Jesus had, a human response when his friend Lazarus died. The word wept there is probably in whatever translation you have it open right now. I've got the NIV up on the screen, but it's probably similar to that, but it almost certainly uses the word wept, and because that's a really good translation of the Greek word behind it. It doesn't mean a little tear welled up in Jesus' eye and it trickled down, and he kind of looked sad, and he had a little sniffle or something like that. The Greek word behind weep is dakouro. Now, I don't expect you to remember that. I might forget it tomorrow. I don't know. But the meaning, the dictionary meaning behind that Greek word is a bitter, painful weeping, like a broken heart. Like you're just sobbing and sobbing. So Jesus was sobbing, just like you have at times. And maybe nobody saw it, but you sobbed about something. And you could relate to him. And we could relate to Jesus in this verse, and he could relate to us in our situations that we find ourselves in. And another reason I love this verse is it really does pack a lot of theology into two words. Jesus wept. Think about depictions of Jesus that you have seen. They've gotten a little better in recent years, but if you look at like old art and stuff, Jesus doesn't even look like a real person, kind of an alien head or something like that. And he's kind of walking above everybody else, like he's on a cloud or something. And he's always all-knowing, all-wise. He's all calm and cool, which those parts are true. But let's remember that Jesus felt human pain, all sorts of pain, but he felt emotional pain. He experienced emotional pain. Jesus wept. Bitter, raw, unabashed sorrow. One of his best friends had died, and he wept. Wept. Jesus sobbed. Now, Jesus, theologically, was, is, and always will be 100% God. He never ceased being God. That is absolutely true. We need to remember that. But when he was on this earth, he was also 100% human. Don't try to get your logical part of your brain around that. It's taught in the Bible. It's true. We'll never be able to understand how he can be 100% God, 100% human. But it's true. He was. And so Jesus wept. The human Jesus wept, just like when your close friend or a family member has died, or one of those other things I listed happens in your life, emotional pain that might be protracted for a long time. Remember, when that happens, he knows. He has been there. Jesus really does get it. It's not just some conceptual idea. I want to show you another verse that goes along with John 11:35. Look at Hebrews 2:14. We'll throw it up on the screen here. Because God's children are human beings, this is just the first part of the verse. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. So don't let the significance of that pass you by, even though you've heard that before, you've heard that idea before if you've been a Christian for a while. Think about it. The God of the universe, who has made everything known, everything unknown, he knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all everything. He chose and came to live as a human being just like you. Went through the things you've gone through. Dealt with the things that you've dealt with. All of it. Jesus experienced everything as a human being, and really more. More than you'll have to ever deal with. Think about it. Jesus laughed. He cried. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got annoyed with the disciples more than once. He got frustrated with them. He endured temptation. He didn't sin, but he still was tempted. He had good days full of joy and bad days full of emotional pain. Some days he was a little more patient with the disciples than others. There were days that he did not get enough sleep, and there were other days when he got to relax with his friends and travel and talk with them. And Jesus experienced the death of a parent. I can't show you that in the Bible, so it's not an absolute truth, but the inference is there, because Joseph, as we read early in the Gospels, was called a good man. Remember, he didn't want to put Mary away, divorce her, in other words, when he found out she was pregnant. And he was a good man, he was a godly man, he was a kind man. And so I don't think Joseph left the family. I think at some point he died. It's a reasonable idea anyway. So probably Jesus experienced the death of a parent at a relatively young age. Jesus experienced the betrayal of one of his closest friends, Judas. Some people listened to what he had to say. Other people walked away. And still others wanted to kill him. So Jesus experienced it all, including emotional pain. He's been there just like you. And so he understands you. He understands your experiences. Now that's established, I hope. What do you do as a follower of Christ? What do you do with emotional pain? What are some things that you can do when you're in the middle of it? And some of you may be dealing with it right now. Well, I've got four for you. It could be more, but these are the four I came up with. So four for today. Maybe there's five. Maybe there's 10. I don't know. Here's the first one. When you're dealing with emotional pain, focus on Jesus, not the pain. That's easier said than done. I get that. Because all of your senses are going to want to focus on the pain that you are experiencing in the moment. And that's normal as a human being. That's normal. So guess what? You're normal. You have to work at focusing on Jesus. I was recently going through something that I was dealing with, and a person repeated back to me the same advice I had given them. So I told the person I was worried about something, right? I'll just leave it at that. I was worried about something. There were even some tears that I had, and this is what they said to me. Well, worry is your signal to pray, isn't it? Did you pray? Like, yeah, I didn't pray. I just focused on my pain. You know, think about it. Emotional pain, as much as it hurts, and I don't want to go through it, and you don't want to go through it, it's an opportunity to focus on Jesus more. I used to tell my kids, when you're worried about something, that's like God ringing your telephone. Pick it up and start talking to him. That's your signal to pray. All right, number two, remember that the pain did not come from God. It came from living in a sinful world, a fallen world, and your own sinful nature. Now, last week I told you that the only kind of pain that comes directly from God is spiritual pain. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you're making choices outside of his will. Either, you know, before you're a Christian, he wants to call you to salvation, or after you become a Christian, he wants to call you back into right relationship with him. But spiritual pain. Physical pain and emotional pain, they don't come from God. But again, they are the result of living in a fallen, sinful world. Now, God allows it sometimes. He allows it in your life, but he doesn't send it. That's an important distinction to make. And sometimes you got to be honest with yourself and realize you have caused the emotional pain yourself. And sometimes you're an innocent person. You're catching fallout from something or someone else. You know, Jesus never promised to give you a pain-free life. There's nowhere you're going to find in the Bible. In fact, he said, yeah, you ought to count the cost. If you're thinking about following me, you count the cost. Realize you're going to run into some trouble. He didn't promise you a pain-free life. But he did promise you this in the last part of Matthew 28:20. It's the last sentence of the book of Matthew. I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is something Jesus is promising his followers. It's in his word. This is a promise for you if you know him. And you may have read that verse 100 times before. Look at it fresh. I am with you always, no matter what. I am with you always to the very end of the age. All right, number three. Ask God to heal you from this pain. Now, remember what I said 2 weeks about asking for healing, physical healing. If you don't ask for the healing, you might be missing out on what God has planned for you. I don't know. I don't know what he wants to do with your pain. But you need to ask him to see if he wants to heal you. So bring it before him. And then also be willing to do what you need to do. The Holy Spirit may lead you to do something. So if the Holy Spirit asks you to do it, then do it, although remembering that it's the Holy Spirit's power that heals you from the pain. And like serious physical pain, emotional pain can take a long time to heal. Even if God is healing it, he does heal it, it can be a long process that often seems too long. It seems like you're never going to feel right again. You can't rush it sometimes. Those of you that have dealt with deep grief, you know you can't just move through grief and pretend like it doesn't happen. And for goodness sakes, my brothers in Christ in this room, and what I'm talking about, my male brothers in Christ of every age, it is okay to say you are hurting. It's okay. We men, we buy into this American macho culture and stuff. Man, quit acting like it's unmanly to admit that you're hurting in some areas. Because God wants to heal you. He may do it through other people. He probably will do it through a lot of ways. All right, number four. Know that pain may hurt, but God heals. You will be healed from this pain, even if it's something that's gone on for decades. An emotional wound that you have. You will be healed. Emotional pain is a lot like physical pain in some ways, because there may be scars even after the healing has come, and it's not like an every day I'm feeling terrible about this thing all the time. Friday, we were in the in the car, my wife and I, Diana and I, were in the car driving somewhere. And we were talking about Christmas and my side of the family and who's going to be there, and, you know, trying to figure out all the logistics and stuff. And I started going through who lived where. And many of you know my niece Rachel died. She's only early 30s. She died in March. And I almost said, and Rachel, it didn't come out of my mouth. And I just started weeping, like crying, sobbing, while I'm driving. I almost pulled over. I didn't end up having to, but that scar is still there, you know, and it's still kind of fresh. But it's not like it goes away. You can have healing from it, but it still likes to hang around. I reminded myself after calming down that Rachel knew Jesus, knows Jesus now, face to face. And she's with him now, and I'll see her again. But, you know, we have scars. You have those. Some of them have been there a long time. But when emotional pain hits, ask God to use it to bring glory to him and to help you be a witness for others and to help someone else in the future, because you've been there. You know what it's like to go through what you've gone through. But also remember this, even the scars will be gone in heaven if you know Jesus. And I hope you do. And if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, I would love to talk to you. Just get a hold of me. But all the scars will be gone, the wounds, the scars, all of it. Because in heaven, all pain is gone. Physical pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain. And if you know Jesus, you can count on this promise. And I showed you this verse 2 weeks ago when I was talking about physical pain. But let's look at Revelation 21:4 again. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone. What's it say, church? All these things are gone forever. Is that not the greatest thing you've heard this week? It's only the first day of the week. Probably beat anything you hear this week. All these things are gone forever. This is a promise in God's word, right there, or in your Bible, wherever you're reading it. It's a promise that he will keep. And notice the verse is mainly talking about emotional pain. I used the word pain that first sermon 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if that's the kind of pain he's talking about. He's talking about all kinds of pain. But emotional pain, look at the verse. No tears, no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. All of them are gone forever. So, look, this is a God's word. You're a follower of Christ. Do you believe this, church?
Yes.
All right, good. You've heard it before. Get these words down into your very soul. Because no matter what happens this week or next month or in 5 years from now, this is still true. And the word of God stands forever. It will never cease to be true. And I want you to know that today, and I want you to remember that today. I want to show you another. I've been reading some Charles Spurgeon, so you got to listen to another Charles Spurgeon quote this week. Charles Spurgeon said this: I have heard of people being afraid of the pains of death. There are no pains of death. The pain is in life. Death is the end of pain. It is all over. Put the saddle on the right horse. Do not blame death for what he does not do. It is life that brings pain. And that's not to say that, you know, this life is always painful and terrible and horrible and we're all going to cry all the time. But it does bring pain at times. It's hard to compare pain. You know, it's hard to tell my story and listen to your story and say, well, who had it worse, you know? That's kind of futile to do anyway. But the deepest emotional pain I've ever experienced, some of you have heard the story before, but it was when my sister was killed in an accident. And this wasn't anyone's fault. Nobody sinned. Nobody did anything wrong to her. She fell, and she died almost instantly. And you know, here, 12 years later, almost 12 years later, she died on New Year's Day. It still hurts, you know? It's not like it was. It's still just kind of a scar that bugs you once in a while. But it changed me. It changed me in ways I really can't explain, and some of you know what I'm talking about here. And I know it sounds crazy unless you've experienced what I'm about to say. So during the days after my sister's death and in the weeks after, really, it was the lowest point in my life. And yet somehow I sensed Jesus right there with me. I felt the Holy Spirit moving in me in ways I had not experienced before. Like very strongly, in a tangible way. I don't have words for this, for the peace I felt. I was still sad, crying, sometimes weeping. And the other thing that I knew, and I knew this because it had to be the Holy Spirit telling me, because nobody told me this, or not very many people told me this, but I knew, I could sense somehow that multitudes of people were praying for me and my family. And maybe you've experienced that too, I don't know. But it was an extraordinary experience. Jesus made himself known when I needed him the most. Not that he ever left me, but he made himself known. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. He revealed himself in new ways to me during that time. And you've gone through times like this. I'm not trying to make this, you know, I don't need therapy for this. I'm okay, right? Because you've had your experiences and stories too. And I'm no better than you. I don't have a special hotline to God. I have the title pastor, but that doesn't give me any special access to God. Because he will do the same for you in your emotional pain. And I'll tell you something else, that experience and others have made me a better person. It's maybe a better friend. It's maybe a better pastor, because I can help people better that go through things like that. God still uses the death of my sister in my life to this day. When you bring something to Jesus, he promises to use it. Now think about it. Think about Jesus on the cross and the suffering before he went to the cross, the beatings. We focus on the physical. So he experienced physical pain. He also experienced spiritual pain, not in the way we do, but he took on the sins of the world. Think about that. He became sin for our sake, the Bible says. He became sin for our sake. He took on all sins, not just yours, but everybody in this room. And he dealt with emotional pain. The loneliness he must have felt on the cross. He had to watch his mother suffer. And that's sometimes hard to see the family member go through it than what you're going through, right? He saw his friends suffer. Jesus wept. I think it's one of the most important verses in the Bible, because it tells me that Jesus understands completely everything. And I hope you'll remember that. When that pain comes, and it will, sorry to say, when the pain comes, take it to Jesus. Take it to him. We're going to have a time of ministry. Tori Loganbill and Amanda Loganbill are going to come up. I believe Shauna Evans is going to be playing for them. It's special music, but it's not like corporate worship. It's not a time to think, oh, look how talented everyone is. It's not a recital. They want to minister to you this morning. Or, and I didn't mention Jim Manuel. He's going to be helping too. So prayer team members, I'm springing this on you, but would you guys come up here and either sit here or here and just be ready to pray with anyone? I should have told you ahead of time, but I didn't. And I'll do the same. I'll find a spot down here. If you're sitting on the front row, that way people aren't standing and everybody's looking at them. But if you have someone, or if you want someone to listen to what you're going through, what you're dealing with, or someone to pray with you, you don't even have to give them all the details if you don't want to. You can do that during this song. We'll just kind of see how it goes, see how the Holy Spirit leads. Don't be shy. Don't be worried about what other people think. They'll probably be happy that you're receiving ministry, actually. So let Jesus minister to you today. Let the Holy Spirit be present today through the song or through a prayer team member. If you just want to pray by yourself, that's fine. So I'll pray for our time, and then I'll turn it over for them to minister to the rest of us with this song. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you understand our pain, all kinds of pain. And Lord, you identify with our emotional pain. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to respond to this truth and to remember that you experienced similar things that we experienced. And more than that, Lord, you experienced things on the cross and even in your life that we'll never have to deal with. So, Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, you would fill this room, fill people, and use this time according to your will, in Jesus' name.
I have no idea what to say right now. And if you wanna come, you can stay for a while. I know a place we can go right now. Pack all of your pieces, broken and bleeding, all of your grief and doubt. I know a place we can go right now. When your questions don't have answers and you just can't understand it, when your mind just won't stop running and the tears just keep on coming, you don't have to explain it. He hears you before you can speak. Come with me. Let's take it to Jesus. Let's take it to Jesus. If you need to just fall apart, lay down all your worries, not in a hurry. Take all the time you need. This is a place you can rest for a while. When your questions don't have answers and you just can't understand it, when your mind just won't stop running and the tears just keep on coming, you don't have to explain it. He hears you before you can speak. Come with me. Let's take it to Jesus. Oh, take it to Jesus. Let's take it to Jesus. Oh, whatever you need, let's take it to Jesus. When my questions had no answers and I couldn't understand it, when my mind wouldn't stop running and the tears just kept on coming, didn't have to explain it. He heard me before I could speak. I still take it to Jesus. Let's take it to Jesus.
Father, I thank you for all my friends here. Whatever they're going through, whether they prayed with someone or by themselves, I pray that we can live our lives in reflection of that song, that we can take anything to you. There's nothing hidden from you, Lord, and nothing shocks you. And I pray that we can grow in our faith enough to take whatever we need to you. So I thank you for this time of worship, this time of ministry. We thank you for your word, and we pray these things all in the name of Jesus. Amen.